Well, we're thinking and talking about the 1930s, and of course, Jim Crow reigned supreme over all walks of life. And African Americans were being lynched periodically, especially voting and segregation itself. So that the Ku Klux Klan served as an extra legal enforcement arm of both white supremacy and of American apartheid. And I grew up, born in 1916, and all my youth and young adult years, the Klan was a feature of the landscape. As I came of age, World War II came along. So I had a back injury as a child and didn't get into service, and decided that there were enough Nazi-minded Klansmen in our own backyard that needed attention. I concluded that if I didn't do it, nobody else would. Everyone was talking against the Klan. The preachers were preaching, and the editors were writing editorials and so on. But no one was getting any hard, actionable evidence to take into a court of law. So for those reasons, I went ahead and infiltrated the Klan. Well, I fortunately had an uncle who had been a great titan for Northeast Florida, this congressional district, all during my childhood. So by invoking his name, it gave me a sort of entree. And it wasn't really all that difficult. They asked three questions. Do you hate niggers? Do you hate Jews? And have you got 10 bucks? Once I got in, I went, it was obvious to me that I couldn't go to the police, because at the very first meeting, I could see the police uniforms, blue pants sticking out beneath the Klan robes, and a great many khaki trousers of the sheriff's deputies. So there's obviously no way to go to the local law enforcement. So I went to the FBI, and this was in Atlanta, where the Klan headquarters was. And the FBI was no more interested, even in those days. They were asking me, "Well, what do you know about these black militants? That's the real danger." And sure enough, at the next Klan meeting in Grand Dragon, Samuel Green got up and said, "Had a little call from the FBI last week," said, "warning me that we've been infiltrated, and telling me to better watch my step." So you can't ask for better cooperation than that. So that's the way it was back under the Hoover FBI. They had this real rapport going with the Klan. But since I'd had the door slammed in my face by the FBI, as I recall, there were no blacks whatever in the FBI, except, well, there were six on the payroll nationally. And they were in Washington and chauffeurs. But anyway, I decided I didn't know where to go, but and I went to the media and to Drew Pearson. Pearson had called his thing the Washington Merry-Go-Round, and he had a weekly radio broadcast coast to coast. So I made a deal with Pearson to broadcast minutes of the Klan's last meeting. Every Sunday afternoon, we'd broadcast the names of judges and policemen and businessmen, politicians, all sorts of people who had attended the last meeting of the Klan. So the minute we did that, they never showed up again. And attendance on the whole dropped, and recruitment dropped, and best of all, violence came to a stop, all because of infiltration. So it was very effective while it lasted. They were trying very hard to catch me, and I was trying very hard not to get caught. Yeah, it's been a source of nightmares ever since.